Time now for this week's Instant Wisdom. And today is particularly pertinent because of the controversy in Vancouver over the banning of both the University of British Columbia and the Vancouver Public Library from the Gay Pride Parade, because both institutions rented rooms to speakers with views that the Pride Society deemed hateful. I mean, there's a lot to discuss concerning that, the Pride Society's decision. But today, in Instant Wisdom, I want to feature one of the most revered gay advocates who says that curtailing speech because it's offensive or hateful is a bad tactic. Jonathan Rauch, one of the most respected thinkers on free speech, author of the highly acclaimed book Kindly Inquisitors, New Attacks on Free Thought, which he recently updated. But Mr. Rauch became known as an openly gay advocate as early as 1991, when he became arguably the most prominent public force for changing attitudes and laws regarding things like issues like gay marriage. He makes a compelling point that the progress vis-a-vis gay rights was made through open dialogue, free speech, some of it hateful, but only through free speech can hate, illogic, and fallacies be exposed. In this quote, he extols the virtues of an open mind and the ability for self-reflection and criticism.
The big point is, the reason we were able to make the progress we were against hate is that hate of this kind is not usually motivated by people who want to hurt other people. It's not, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. It's people with wrong ideas, orthodoxies that are stale, that are discriminatory, but they believe these falsehoods. They believe that Jews control the international financial system. They believe that blacks are inferior and can't, and are a threat to, you know, white women. They believe that gays are undermine the social order and try to seduce children. Well, if someone thinks I'm a threat to their children or family, they will hate me. The way we went after that was by exposing the wrongness of their ideas, by showing that we were not dangerous or a threat. And the way we did that was by using to the hilt the system of public criticism we call liberal science. And sure enough, when exposed to criticism, these anti-gay views, they crumbled. They were indefensible. There was never any evidence for them. There was never any coherence to them. That's the mechanism by which we triumph. So I'm arguing in the afterword that in some in indirect sense, hate speech is minorities' friends. Mm-hmm. It makes us push back, and in a climate that allows hate speech also allows us to answer the hate speech, and we will win over time.
It's an important topic that we are having a debate about within the country. That's the role of free speech. There are many groups, an increasing number of groups, who believe in the curtailment of speech. I think it's important to hear the perspective, as I say, of one of the great thinkers on the subject, who says that only through free speech can we then expose the lack of thought, the lack of evidence, the lack of research that are supporting those hateful ideas. And I think that the people at the Pride Society are absolutely on the wrong track here. That it's that open, that I'm telling you that you need more discussion of this. We need to have it full and open, and only through, as Jonathan Rauch says, can you then expose ideas that are unworthy of us. Time now for this week's quote of the week. In the run-up to the federal election, we're going to hear a lot about taxes, with the big con being, hey, you're not going to pay anymore. Are you kidding me? When you look at all three levels of government, you're always going to be paying more. We won't be hearing about the fact that the federal government added 1,300 new auditors, which, by the way, should send a bit of a shiver up your spine. Numerous tax professionals have come forward to say how much the relationship with Canada Revenue Agency has become far more adversarial. And you don't have a chance, by the way. They got all the money, unlimited resources. And what a lot of people don't understand when you deal with Canada Revenue Agency, see, you have to prove your innocence. It's none of this, hey, innocent until proven guilty. No, they can come after you. Unlimited resources. I suspect that your resources and my resources are limited. Which brings me to my quote of the week by William Robson, CEO of the C.D. Howe Institute. In quotes, yes, the integrity of Canada's tax system matters, but defending it should not be an excuse for relentless squeezing of taxpayers on every imaginable margin, especially when politics have blown away all restraint on spending. This week's shocking stat is 67. That's the number of prominent members of the British Labour Party in the House of Lords who signed a newspaper ad accusing Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of their own party, of being anti-Semitic. The full-page ad, which appeared in The Guardian this week, states in quotes, "We are saying you are accountable as leader for allowing anti-Semitism to grow in our party and presiding over the most shameful period in Labour's history," end of quote. His own members are saying this. This isn't the first time, though. I mean, there's a lot of integrity in this, that are saying, you know what, my principles are more important than politics. There's a hell of a lot of people in this country who should pay attention to that. But this isn't the first time for Corbyn. I mean, it's been an ongoing problem since his election as leader in 2015, February 2019. This year, 9 MPs quit Labour, many of them citing the leadership's handling of anti-Semitism for their reason for leaving. Jewish Labour Movement, they have supported Labour for decades. Well, they've passed a motion of no confidence in Jeremy Corbyn and voted to describe the party as institutionally anti-Semitic. In April, Sunday Times reported that Labour had received 863 complaints against party members for anti-Semitism. The newspaper, though, said 30 people, that's all, only 30 people had been expelled. And we're talking about some of them saying things like Heil Hitler, Jews are the problem. They've not even been suspended. The latest outcry, though, came in the aftermath of the BBC investigation on the program Panorama, detailed shocking complaints of anti-Semitism by former Labour staff members and other insiders who alleged that so-called independent investigations into alleged anti-Semitism were interfered with by Corbyn and Corbyn's staff. I mean, my God, his communications chief, Seamus Milne, is a real beauty. He, along with Corbyn, has voiced support for Hamas and Hezbollah. While Corbyn decried the program as one-sided, by the way, the Panorama program, their deputy leader, Tom Watson, said he deplored the official response from Corbyn. Interesting to note, though, that the difference between the response of many Labour members to the anti-Semitism that has infiltrated their party under Corbyn and the non-response of the EU and the U.S. of the Democratic Party, who's turned a blind eye to the anti-Semitic statements of Congress member Ihan Omar. More interesting, though, is the lack of interest in Canada to the extremism that's threatening to destroy the Labour Party, which has a mix of communists, anti-Semites, apologists, like their communications chief, Seamus Milne. I mean, the guy is sitting there saying the East German police, the Stasi, are okay. And it's interesting, too, that that isn't headline stuff. But anything that Donald Trump says is. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be. I'm saying there is a lot going on, and you might want to just not be so focused on one person. But this is, I really pat these people on the back, the 67 members of the Labour Party who came right out and said, not good enough, not my standard, to Jeremy Corbyn and his anti-Jewish leadership. Good for them. Time now for this week's Goofy. Now, I knew it was going to be a good week for Goofies when the federal Liberals announced that Gerald Butts was back after resigning just 4 months ago over his role in the SNC-Lavalin affair. But he never quite gave specifics as to what role it was and why he was resigning, all of that stuff. But he did get severance, and we don't know how big that was. But he gets to keep it, and now, 4 months later, he's back to playing a major role in the re-election campaign of the Liberals. And no, the two people who actually showed integrity in the SNC-Lavalin campaign are not back. I mean, Jane Philpott, Jody Wilson-Waybould. But that's not my Goofy. And neither is the jaw-dropper. I mean, the Prime Minister's in my Goofy Hall of Fame, and it's just this kind of thing that puts a smile on my face. Prime Minister at a Victoria fundraiser this week, when it came to Indigenous communities, says in quotes, "We have to be patient. We have to be present. We have to be unconditional in our support in a way a parent needs to be unconditional in their love. Not that there's a parent-child dynamic here," end of quote. I just thought, are you kidding me? He's just a beauty that way. He says stuff like that, and you go, what could he possibly be thinking? Incredible. But still not my Goofy, because this is. Two former Canadian ambassadors, now private citizens, David Mulroney, Guy Saint-Jacques, reported that a senior official in the Global Affairs Department called them, their private citizens, to demand they clear any public comments regarding government policy on China with the government. The official claimed to be speaking on behalf of the Prime Minister's office, specifically wanted any comments cleared with them. After all, there's an election coming, and tensions are high. So these two people, two individual citizens, are told to clear any comments with the government. Now, a lot of people noted the irony that our government was behaving like the Chinese government itself. All public comments had to be cleared. But in the end, I mean, this is just another head shaker asking two private citizens to clear all comments on China because they'd been critical with the government first. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think that's happening. As I said, I knew it was going to be a great week for goofies. Hey, look, speaking of a great week, I just want to remind you, as we come to the end of the show, you can listen anytime on mikesmoneytalks.ca, mikesmoneytalks.ca. You can go back, re-listen, you know, go to the archives, but also join us on Michael Campbell's Facebook page, Michael Campbell's Money Talks. Again, you can listen to the Daily Comment. I hope you do that on a daily basis. Whether you agree or disagree, gives you food for thought, and there's always plenty of data and research in it. In the meantime, I hope you go out. Have a wonderful weekend. My thanks to James Murray for all the great help today in the show. Have a good weekend.